what do you study in uni?
I actually did communication studies in uni. I was on a shoot for McDonald's, and the poor guy had to like bite into the same burger like 30 times and spit it out because they needed the perfect bite.
And let's jump into the podcast. So Felicia is here and she's guesting with us today because we've got something really interesting coming up.
Upcoming on 19th July, we will actually be having a How to Build Your Student Portfolio event. This will be conducted at our Bukit Timah branch. We have actually invited four of Felicia's ex-students down that have managed to enter top courses in locally or as well as overseas. This includes medicine, dentistry, law, and econs. So if you're interested to hear from the panelists themselves, how they did it, what were the things to be looking out for, do tune in on to this event. This is especially relevant if you are a student in Nanyang Girls or you're in Hwa Chong right now, because our panelists came from these schools exactly. So in terms of the specific details on like which student program they attended, what are some scholarship options, you know, all of these different options available to you, you know, which one should you be choosing based on the track that you're pursuing? I think this is going to be a very invaluable session that you're going to gain so much insights on how to really build up your student portfolio to enter this highly competitive courses.
Yeah, thanks Daryl for that. And with that, let's really get into what we're going to be talking about during the event. So one of the things that we're going to be discussing with the panelists about is how they maximize their opportunities to build their portfolio in their secondary or JC years. Maybe we can ask Felicia, you know, how exactly would you advise students to, you know, build out their portfolio?
Okay, so if you are aiming for top courses like medicine, law, yeah, definitely getting straight A's is not sufficient, yeah, because you need to know that all applicants are all getting straight A's. So for these courses, usually there will be an interview. So during the interview, they will not only look at your academics, but they'll look at your portfolio. So that's why we are having this seminar to keep you more informed on what you need to prepare, yeah, besides the academics perspective. Yeah, so for non-academic wise, one, I think everyone will know they will look at your CCA, but CCA is not all. Yeah, because besides CCA, they will also look at things like maybe do you join any additional programs? Yeah, so actually besides so in JC, usually they will have like many types of programs. They do have like H3 subjects, which I believe most of y'all are already aware. H3 is actually the more difficult, like advanced subject. Yeah, then besides the H3 subjects, which is actually A-level examinable, there are also programs that are available in schools. Yeah, so like for science students, they have like the science math talent program. So science math talent program is more specifically for Hwa Chong. Of course, if you were to look at the other JC, like maybe Raffles, they do have like Raffles Academy. Yeah, then besides science, humanities also do have their programs called like humanities program in Hwa Chong JC. Yeah, so besides all these, you also need to like have like I would say other aspects that you need to also boost your portfolio in. Like for example, if you're aiming for medicine, then medicine, usually in the when you're in university, the medicine course actually require you to do some community involvement project. Yeah, so if you were to need to do CIP, then if your portfolio actually has the CIP component in that you have done in JC or even in secondary school, that will actually help you in getting to the medicine course more easily. Yeah, so that's why like besides academics, you need to have like all sorts of other portfolios. It can be like academic related, like the programs, or it can be non-academic related, like CCA and community involvement, etc.
I think what I'd like to add in here is that if you have an inkling of what course you're aiming for, you need to take deliberate action to make sure that you prove that you actually have a passion and interest in this field. Now, when we are talking about student internships, for example, honestly, the company is not asking a lot. You're probably there just to experience things. You will not be assigned like real work. Like half the time is just maybe helping on certain aspect. Or for medicine, I think you're just going down for a lot of observation to understand how hospitals actually work, clinics and stuff like that. So I need everybody that, you know, if you are really crystal clear on like what's the pathway you want to pursue, you probably want to take action during your school holidays to pursue all of this extra stuff, right? So you need to understand that. When you go into an interview, what they are looking for is not just how you are performing academically, because that's the baseline. They are looking on what else have you done on top of that. So you need to make sure that if you're very clear you want to get into medicine or law, please take action. All right. And these actions might be small, but those consistent effort, like every single holiday, you just go for a short stint, a short internship or work experience, all of this will add up. So I need y'all to be very deliberate about this if you already know where you want to go.
Yeah, that's such a good point, Daryl. And I think also another point to take note on is that in order to build your portfolio, there are other things aside academics that Felicia mentioned. So you can go for programs. And another thing that you can look out for is leadership positions in CCAs. Maybe Felicia or Daryl can share a little bit more about why putting leadership elements in your portfolio is important, especially if you want to secure top courses.
If you are just like a member in a CCA, that's too common, right? Yeah, so for such elite courses, like, and or maybe you are trying to apply for those top universities, that's definitely, you need to be more outstanding as compared to the other applicants. That's why you will need to have like leadership position to make yourself to be more outstanding. Yeah, and that actually besides leadership position in like your CCA, another way that you can actually go for is like, I would say like, it's a double benefit. It would be that maybe you can go into being like the exco, that means the executive committee position in your school's CIP CCA. Yeah, because for community involvement program CCA, you do volunteering work, yet you also do have the leadership position. So you're actually like getting like double benefits for joining such CCA. Yeah, so CCA actually, besides choosing your passion, if you do not really have a fixed area of interest, yeah, you can actually consider such leadership position in community involvement.
I think the key draw as to why a leadership position enhances your portfolio is because it shows that you have the ability to take on additional responsibility. You have the ability to rally your team around you to accomplish the specific task that's set ahead for you. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a team member, right? Because you need a good mix of leaders as well as followers. But you need to understand that especially for these highly demanding courses, they are really looking at the cream of the crop. And typically, these are individuals that display traits like leadership, ability to take initiative, that they're accountable. So having that leadership position really sweetens the deal. But that doesn't mean you must have one. But I would say if you have an inkling, you know, like I'm definitely going to go for like the top courses, I want scholarships and stuff, I think at minimum, you should be looking at an exco position. And half the time really is just about you taking that leap of faith to put yourself in that position, to learn the relevant leadership skills and to just learn to be somebody that's accountable, somebody that you're able to work very closely with your team with. So I'll say that if you haven't had leadership positions before and you're fearful to take on one, I'll say that the fear is unwarranted because a lot of times it's through these leadership experiences where you grow into a better leader.
Yeah, I think just to add on to what Daryl said as well, I think leadership is important because it shows your growth journey, right? They don't want to just accept students who are, you know, like bookworms. The only thing you know how to do is study, right? They want to see character growth. They want to see your story as well. So the next question it leads me to is, you know, there are so many academic opportunities that are available that can also boost your academic portfolio. So what are these academic opportunities and how do students look up for them? Felicia?
I would say it depends on school also. So like for me, because I've been teaching the Nanyang students all this while, so I do hear from them that that their school actually do invite like speakers from different fields where they'll come to the school to like give speech and all. Yeah, so one way to be able to like reach out to like different companies to do the internship would be through the speakers. Yeah, because the speakers are usually alumni of the school. Yeah, so usually for like Hwa Chong, they usually have like quite a lot of like students where actually now over many, many years later, they actually reach like very high positions. Like maybe they can be like high positions in a hospital, high positions like in a law firm and all. Yeah, so that's where the students are provided such special opportunities to be able to do like internship at the various companies. That's what I heard from my students.
I'll go back to a point I raised earlier about being deliberate. Actually, you need to understand that your own personal network also has a lot of value. Now, you might not know somebody that working in a hospital, but your parents might, your aunt might, your friend's cousin might. So sometimes it's just about throwing out there that, hey, I will be very deliberate in terms of looking for a specific internship, and you start asking around. And you start to realize that actually it's a lot easier to get connected with such opportunities the moment you actually vocalize that you're looking for this, right? Imagine posting on your IG story, hey, anybody know anyone that is working currently at a clinic, hospital, or a law firm looking for a short-term internship? And you'll realize that actually your network itself, there's actually a lot of value. So even if you cannot find somebody of that field, it's completely okay, and companies love it when you actually write an email in requesting that, hey, I'm a current student, blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to look to go into this field. Over the course from this date to this date, I'm looking for a short-term internship at your firm. Sometimes it's probably unpaid, and that's fine. You're just there for the experience. And a lot of times you realize that these companies will actually respond back with either, sure, you can come, or maybe if they can't, they will also let you know. So don't be afraid to send out that first initial email or that first initial outreach. So tap on your own personal network first, a few degrees of connection outwards, or even reach out to the companies themselves. So for our own Overmark students, something that we like to do as well is that we hear our students with such desire to secure internship, we actually tap on our own network, because now a lot of us, we are way older, we have friends in different fields. So I have many friends that are lawyers or working in medicine. It's a very simple thing for me to ask my friend on how to do that for you. So if you're an Overmark student, don't be afraid to reach out to your tutor, because even if your tutor do not know a friend, the tutor team does. So that is just really being resourceful and being very deliberate with what you hope to achieve.
Yeah, so that really helps us to reframe the idea of what an academic opportunity is, right? It doesn't just mean like within your school, it means extending it outside as well. Like Daryl mentioned, you can ask around so that you can really take your learnings in school and apply outside in, you know, other jobs or internships. In terms of looking at academics within your school, are there some competitions, you know, or ways to build your portfolio academically that, you know, students can look out for? Maybe I can share a little bit more for Temasek Junior College, because Daryl and I both happen to be from the same school, just a fun fact. So for us, we do have science talent programs. We've also got this other program called Talent Development Program. That's for the cream of the crop students. If you really want to develop yourself academically, the school provides these programs to develop you and send you out to, you know, learn, do competitions, etc. Another thing for humanities students to look out for would be something called HSP. This is present across all MOE schools. It is a scholarship. So this is a definitely good academic opportunity for the arts students to get a scholarship and make sure that your academic portfolio looks very gao lah. So Felicia or Daryl, anything else to add other opportunities?
I think a very good resource that all of us should look into is actually the Bright Spark website as a portal for you to log in to source for different scholarship opportunities. So I would say that at the end of the day, a lot of this, like, you know, guides and what you should do is online. It's just whether you have the, you know, the intention to go and look for it, right? So all this information is widely available. We also have multiple content, like, you know, we've written articles on how to build your student portfolio and stuff like that. It's just a matter of like whether you take action. Truthfully. So those of you who have set a goal, like, you know, you want to be there by a certain point, you should be looking at all of this actively. Going for scholarship interviews is actually a very good way to practice, because you might not get the very first scholarship that you apply for, but through this process of preparing your student portfolio, getting your student records in place, all of this work is already pre-done. So for you to apply for future courses or even internships, it becomes a lot easier because you have all of this done. Right. Imagine you have like your student resume and stuff like that all laid out, and you also have a clearer understanding of what they are looking for. So even if you go down for an interview and you don't get through it, just go for it, right? It's still a learning experience itself.
Yep, and with that, all right, let's head over to the commercial break and we'll see you guys in the second half.
Hi everyone, if this is your first time tuning into our podcast, welcome. Overmark is one of Singapore's fastest growing secondary and JC tuition brands. We're located all across Singapore, including locations like Kovan, Bukit Timah, and Marine Parade. If you're curious about the learning experience here at Overmark, sign up for a free trial lesson anytime. And with that, back to the podcast.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the second half. And if that was a lot of information in the first half for you guys to absorb, we're actually having an event where we are going to invite down especially NYGH and HCI students to run you through, you know, how to build your portfolio for entering top universities. Maybe I can pass the time to Felicia to share a little bit more about this very special event.
I'll be moderating for this event. Yeah, as I will be actually getting my ex-students from Nanyang Girls High who studied all the way to Hwa Chong JC. So they will be actually sharing as a panelist during this event. Yeah, so this event, it will be on 19th of July, yep, evening, 7:30 p.m. at the Bukit Timah branch of Overmark. Yep. So for this event, you'll be expecting things like, number one, we'll be sharing on how to maximize opportunities during secondary school and JC years. And next, we will also be covering on the internships and portfolio building from young. And we will also be covering on how to prepare effectively for the A-levels. And lastly, is about how to choose your university path, then followed by Q&A. Yeah. So based on my years of experience, 13 years of experience teaching mainly in the IP sector, like the Nanyang, like teaching the Nanyang girls, that is why I will be like hosting for this event.
Yeah, and also for this event, we're going to have Q&A. So if you have burning questions, you know, that aren't answered in this episode of the podcast, feel free to get a ticket and, you know, really ask away during the session itself. But anyway, let's move on to the very next question. So the question is, you know, how do you choose your university path? There are so many paths, right? You can go overseas, you can remain local, you there are also like courses like dentistry, medicine, you know, how do you choose between all these paths?
Maybe I'll break down first in terms of studying overseas versus studying locally, which one works for you better. So let's talk very realistically, like if you're aiming for a local university, I think the majority of you will be either looking at NUS or NTU. Generally, staying in Singapore keeps the cost a little lower. School fees itself are always heavily subsidized by the government. And it's also a lot easier for you in terms of, I would say, your day-to-day life. Because let's say you have something, you know, that you need to settle, you can always hit home, you know. So just being back in your home country means you're also closer with your friends. I would say that there's just, in general, a lot more convenience when it comes to studying locally. However, you need to understand that the local environment context will not be very far different from what you're currently experiencing in school, which means it could have a pretty competitive environment and there's a bell curve that you need to fight against nothing that you haven't experienced before. So in a way, you're just doing the same thing that you've been doing in secondary school and A-levels, but at university level. Of course, different courses will probably have different demands. But with that being said, what about studying overseas? I'll say that the pros when it comes to studying overseas is that the academic rigor is typically, this is a sweeping statement, typically slightly less compared to the intensity that what Singapore students will be bringing, which means you actually get a more all-rounded experience. And the fact that you'll be meeting a lot of new people from different countries and stuff really gives you the opportunity to explore and to really broaden your global perspective. And I think a huge part here is really the state whereby previously you have been staying with your family and stuff like that. Going overseas to study really helps you accelerate the process of learning to be independent. In somewhere there's a foreign country, learning how to solve your problems by yourself or to make new friends. I'll say putting yourself in the uncomfortable environment actually helps to catapult your growth. But the cons here is that most overseas universities is not as easy to secure scholarships. There's a lot for you to figure out in terms of how to stay by yourself on your own. And the fact that, you know, being away from home for so long will probably cause you to be homesick. So those are just some smaller aspects that you need to be ready when you make that choice. Now, if we go back to the original question in terms of, hey, now that I know the difference between local and overseas, what option, which specific university path do I want to take? I'll say, if I can really give you my heartfelt advice, choose something that you like, right? It's really very painful to be studying something that you have no interest in. So I know nowadays with the rise of AI and stuff like that, I think majority of people are saying that, whoa, you know, computer science, right? But yes, I think yes, in the marketplace, there is a larger demand for that specific skill set. But you need to understand is that if you don't like coding at all, and that is not an area that you're remotely interested in, forcing yourself into that course will not work, right? Just because, oh, there's good career prospects. So let's say hypothetically, you know that medicine and law is a very prestigious course, but deep down, you really genuinely do not have interest in how the body works, how to cure illnesses, then don't force yourself down the medicine track. For law itself, you might think of it, you know, you watch Suits, you know, you watch all the different dramas, and you're like, wow, lawyers are so cool. But do you understand the actual hours they have to put in when they start working and the kind of complexity in terms of the paperwork that they have to be put through? So if you ask me, right, what you should be choosing, honestly, when I was your age at 15, 16, 17, 18, I had no idea what I wanted to do. Which is why I think if you are more or less set on a certain path, give yourself the opportunity to go for an internship to have a taste, you know, just a teaser, tiny little bit to experience, okay, this is the life of a doctor. This is the life of a lawyer. This is the life of an educator. Doesn't matter what you choose. But the main point is that you kind of want to get that a little bit so that you know what you're signing up for in the long term. The worst thing you can do is to choose a course that you do not want to be in and having been stuck in it for the next 4 years or even for the rest of your life as part of your career. So the internships are a perfect opportunity for you to explore. I can't tell you which is the best course because every course produces very bright applicants. That means they do very well in their respective fields. So there's nothing wrong choosing a slightly more unconventional path as long as you're very clear what you hope to achieve from that. And I'm going to add in one last caveat to throw everybody off. Most likely, what you study will not be the actual job that you're doing. That applies to 60 to 70% of people that enter the workforce. I think Felicia was studying biological sciences, but she's teaching. Same for myself. But I'll say that no matter what course you choose, there is still a very definite growth that you can come from it. So it's not necessarily very hard skills like knowledge-based all the time. It's about the soft skills, about how to work in a team, what are certain work ethics that you should have. I'll say those are actually a lot more important as well.
Yeah, and just to add on to what Daryl mentioned, so how you choose your university course could be based on, you know, your interests, right? What you can see yourself doing in the long term. If, like Daryl mentioned, you don't like coding, don't force yourself to do it. Another thing that I would want you to take note is, what is, you know, your strength? Right, your academic strength or, you know, like your personality strength. Maybe if Felicia mentioned, you know, being a doctor means that you have to make rounds, you have to interact with people, you got to do things that have a lot more social impact and community involvement. If that is not something that your personality is suited for, you know, maybe you're very impatient, you feel frustrated talking to so many people in a day, then maybe becoming a doctor might be something you might take a step back from because you're like, you know, should I consider this in case I burn out in the future, right? Is my personality and strength suited for this career? That is something else that you could possibly take note of. And another thing that we want to add also is that, you know, here at Overmark, we really care about the students. And as Daryl mentioned in the first half, right, if you've got any questions as well on internships, job opportunities, or how to build your portfolio towards a certain uni course, you can also ask the tutors, right? Because all of the tutors have already journeyed down this path and they are more than happy as educators to really advise you. Yeah, so with that, we're really excited to hold our event once again on the 19th of July for NYGH and HCI students specifically. But if you are not from those schools, feel free to tune in as well digitally. We will see you online and you can join our TikTok live as well. For this podcast, if you've got any more questions, you can feel free to drop it in the comments. And we hope to see you guys in the very next episode and help you guys figure out, you know, what exactly you want to do with your education. With that, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. And we'll see you next time. Bye!